It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
From the Fifth Quarter Studio in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to High School Hoops with your hosts, Steve Collins and Jake Steger.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. To the podcast today. Before we jump on, I'm going to do a couple things. First of all, I'm going to big shout out to our sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market, bar none. Mention me, mention Coach Collins, mention any of the podcasts, mention Teach Hoops, and they'll give you $400 off and they'll take really good care of you. It's the number one machine. It's the technology behind it. It's awesome. You can find workouts. You can find whatever you need on it. Their customer service is second to none. So make sure you mention me and they'll take really good care of you. One of the best discounts out there. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Prices are going to be going up. We're reopening it for a little bit at the original price, and then we're going to pop it back up. I'm actually talking to my programmer today, and we're going to be doing a lot of really cool things over the next 6 to 9 months. So you're going to want to get in and get in at the price it's available at right now. It is awesome. Go over and check it out. If you're looking for a mentor, you're thinking, oh my gosh, we only got 9,500 days until basketball season starts. Come over and join us in our community 14-day free trial as it still exists. Also go over and check out hoopsalytics.com/teach. Get 25% off, break that film down, become a better basketball coach. Go over and check it out. They will take awesome care of you. All right. So what is today? Today, I'm giving you a sneak peek to the rule of three offense. I did a huge webinar last week, kind of went through the lessons. I just want to be able to share that we are starting a rule of three podcast. I'm going to share the first episode of the rule of three, kind of where the name came from, why we do it, some of the strong parts of it. But I'll put down below on Wednesday, the 17th of August, we uploaded the first four episodes, and then every Wednesday we're going to put new ones out. So if you're thinking of a new offense, if you're looking to beat the best team on your roster, if you want more time to work on other skills, the rule of three is the answer. I'm telling you, it's easy to teach. It's going to allow you to work on some other things that I think are super important in the game of basketball. So go over and check it out down below. Listen to the first kind of tidbit here, Rule of Three Offense Podcast. It's going to be great. And you can hear the first episode in about 3 seconds. Have a great day, everybody.
From the Fifth Quarter Studio in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to the Rule of Three Offense Podcast. Here's our host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the first episode of many of the Rule of Three Offense. So similar to the funnel down defense, I'm going to kind of walk you through over the next, you know, couple months, or depending on how many episodes we kind of eventually get with this offense. I'm going to talk about how it started, you know, why we do it, what works really well. And then I'll try to get into the nuts and bolts of kind of, you know, what it entails, how it works, and why I think it's the offense for just about everybody, but I'm biased. So, you know, I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about kind of in this first episode, I'm going to talk about kind of how it came about. Similar to the funnel down, if you remember, the funnel down came down on a napkin at Chick-fil-A. This one has had a little, the rule of three had a little bit different birth than the funnel down defense. So I'll just go back in history. I think we won our first state title running the swinger flex when we actually ran a half court offense. That's what we ran. And obviously, I believe as a coach, you have to be able to adjust and to tweak and to kind of move with the times. I think flex is a fine offense and it works for some teams, but obviously with my personnel and some other, there are lots of reasons why we don't run it anymore. But we started experimenting with, you know, the Princeton. We started experimenting with some motion. We started experimenting with read and react and dribble drive and all of these kind of things. And I quickly found out that my guys were thinking too much, and we ran some structured stuff. Some continuity, you know, kind of like flex, but a little bit different. And what I found out is my players weren't playing, first of all, and couldn't long-term keep it. Now, if you know anything about the flex or the swing, it's a pretty easy motion, quote unquote motion, and a pretty easy movements for them to remember. However, when we moved to trying some other ones, it was that millisecond of them thinking, and it was too much. So, gosh, it was a couple summers. It was pre-COVID. We sat down and we kind of tried to figure out, you know, what could they do? What were we good at? And what could they, this is the kicker, what could they remember? And this is when, you know, if you're watching me on YouTube right now, this is when I dove into my research about memory, about remembering things. And that's where I kind of came up with the rule of three is actually a writing technique. You know, it talks about listing events and three, chunking things in three. It's not a writing, obviously, a writing thing. But there's patterns. There's been research done. There's severe limits on what we can remember for long term. So if you just think about yourself, and there's studies, there's one by Nelson Cohen, which I like, that was, I don't know, it's about 6-7 years old. It's about the mystery of three and four, memory capabilities and limits and stuff like that. But there are limits. Let me read here for a second. It says, tests of working memory demonstrates practical limits that vary depending on whether the test circumstances allow processes such as grouping or rehearsal, practicing, focusing of attention or just material relevant to the task, whether they like it or don't like it, the use of modality or material specific stores, blah, 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 gets into some other stuff. Recent work suggests nevertheless that there's an underlying limit on the central component of working memory. Typically, it's 3 to 5 chunks in young adults. So we went on the lower end rather than on the higher end. And if you just think about, you know, in physics, there's Newton's three laws of motion. In music, there's three, the musical tirades, the three notes. In religion, there's the Trinity, right? If you're religious. You know, you think about all the famous different components, like just do it. Finger licking good, diamonds are forever, snap, crackle, pop, life, liberty, and pursuit of everything tends to be, if you start watching it, when I started doing this, you start watching, things tend to be in groups of three. Anyway, so why did we do that? Here's how I came about with, I thought my guys could remember, gals could remember three things. I wanted to keep it simple, and I wanted to make sure they could do it. Think about a phone number, right? Nobody remembers phone numbers anymore. It's 3 and 4 digits, right? Area code's 3 digits. I know this is what made me go over the edge. When I think about my social security number, I'm not going to say my social security number out loud, but when I do it, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Is that right? 9, right? There's 9 digits. So you chunk it, right? When I do mine in my head, I'm like, again, not going to say my social security number out loud, but if I do it, I always have, if I have to get the last four digits, I got to chunk it, right? So 3 simple steps to everything. If you go to the TSA, you go anywhere, it's 3 simple steps. So that's how the name came about, the rule of 3. So what we wanted to do was there's a problem. Players can't remember plays. Plays are scoutable. If you're running even a continuity, they don't know what to do. They pass the ball. Where do they go? It's difficult to pick it up, and it's hard to learn. Okay, so I wanted to get it down to the point where they could just do the basic things. I'm gonna steal this from you, Bill. The ABCs of basketball, right? I wanted to make it simple. So they could run it and they wouldn't be hunting for solutions. They wouldn't be thinking about what they needed to do. They would just do it, right? Like, I know the first 3 digits of my phone number when I was a kid. Boom, boom, boom. It's 3 digits, okay? So I wanted to keep it easy. I wanted to keep it that any team could do this. And here's the kicker, and this is why I think the rule of 3 offense works for anybody, works for the highest level of high school, which I think in my program probably I would put us there over the last 20 years, to the lowest junior high, middle school, elementary, is this entire offense can fit on a 3x5 card, one side of a 3x5 card. I'm taking away the decision making from them. Okay. I want them to have reads, okay, and then get reps and then know their role when it comes to all of this. I want those, and again, notice I did 3 things again. I want them to be able to do the reads. I want them to be able to have reps, plays, practice, drills, things. And then I want them to know where they fit. Are they a driver? Are they a pen? Whatever. That's probably the hardest one. But those are the things that I want to teach, and that's how the rule of 3 offense came about. Again, I love Rick Torbert. I love the read and react offense. It's 87 layers. It's way too complicated. I love the Princeton offense. Coach Wheeler, if you're listening to this, I think it's an awesome offense. It's way too complicated for me. and I consider myself a relatively bright person, and I consider my players very bright. It's just too much. I don't need them to remember 17 plays. I just need them to learn to play and to turn and to burn and to be able to attack the basket. Again, we'll talk about the offense and the reads and how it can be run out of different situations. You can be a 5-out team, you can be a 3-out team, you can be a running team, you can be a slow team, you can be all this. This offense will fit into all of those categories. But I wanted to kind of tell you kind of the birth of the rule of 3 offense, where it came from, kind of how we got it, how we kind of built it into what hopefully is an offense that will be helpful for you and your team. So I hope you enjoy this. And again, like I said, like next week, over the next 3 episodes, I'm going to kind of talk about the birth. I already talked about the birth, but I'm going to talk about kind of where it flows. And then after that, I'm going to get into kind of how you can do it as a coach with your team. So I think that will hopefully be helpful for you moving forward. And simplicity wins. That's why the rule of 3 offense is what you want. All right. Have a great day, everybody.
Sports Social Podcast Network.